If you believe that you don't need to be on LinkedIn just because you're a content creator and not a corporate professional, you could not be more wrong. It's truly causing you to miss out on so many different opportunities that there are for brand partnerships that actually last. LinkedIn is where the people behind the brands are spending all of their time, so why wouldn't you want to be where they already are? And you can't forget that it's those real people behind the brands that you want to be connecting with. They're the ones who you're going to be creating the connections with. Being on LinkedIn, you have the opportunity to create genuine relationships with the people behind the brands who are making the decisions, period. Not to mention, there are so many great creator jobs on LinkedIn, not just the typical 9-to-5 corporate gigs. So how do you actually use LinkedIn as a creator? And what should your profile look like now that you are a professional creator? I'm Kristen Duscat, and I've been a full-time creator for over 3 years, and I've brought in over $400,000 from brand partnerships and content creation collaborations with brands so far. Social Scoop is the podcast where we teach you, the entrepreneurial creator, to turn your online influence and creativity into a profitable, self-sustaining business. Today, we're diving into everything that you need to know about LinkedIn and why you should be on this platform if you are not already as a content creator. This, my biz BFF, is Social Scoop. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 132 of Social Scoop Podcast. My name is Kristen, and as always, I'm so excited that you're here. Before we even dive into everything today, I need to start this episode off by telling you that I'm just so thankful to have this community that we've built here. Obviously, if you follow me on Instagram, you know that the last couple of weeks have honestly been really difficult for me. We brought in a new foster dog, and within 10 days, I was literally at her euthanasia appointment because she had gotten parvo in the shelter or before she got in the shelter, and it was so, so, so bad. She could not bounce back from it. We did everything possible, spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars trying to do everything we could to save her, but her body was simply not bouncing back. I personally, as a foster who has fostered a lot of dogs, have never had to go through that. And so it was just like incredibly horrible and difficult. And of course, this happens the week of me getting off of birth control after 13 years. If again, you've been watching my stories, you know that's something that I've been talking about that I'm doing. And of course, my hormones are all over the place. It was very emotional for me to go through, period. But then on top of it, the whole birth control, it was a whole thing, guys. The last couple of weeks have been absolutely crazy, but I really appreciate the grace that you guys have given me. No one has messaged me and been like, what the heck? Why didn't you put a podcast episode out for the last 2 weeks? And so thank you for giving me the time that I needed in order to start to get back to a good place to show up here again. So thank you guys. In other news, we actually missed a little bit of news in the last couple of weeks, but I'm really going to dive into what's important this week. First things first, TikTok has set a cap for the amount of videos that you can monetize as part of this creator program where you're getting paid for the views on your videos. Only 30 qualifying videos per month can be monetized. So you have a cap on the amount that you can monetize in terms of how many videos. It doesn't cap specifically how much money you can make, but it does cap the amount of videos that you can earn off of. So if you're someone who posts multiple times per day, this is probably not super great news for you. But if you're posting once a day or less than that, truthfully, this really shouldn't affect you too much. Instagram is also testing the ability to comment on specific images in a carousel post. So you will be able to do this by commenting the at icon and then the number of the slide that you want to reference, and it will show the carousel icon and the reference photo or video. I think this is so cool. I actually just a couple of days ago over the weekend, I posted like a photo dump and I wrote everything out, kind of like what was in each photo. And I was thinking about how confusing the comments might be because there were so many different things that I was talking about, but this actually would be the perfect feature to actually solve this issue. And you know, hearing me every week when I talk about the news, I'm typically not very excited about different features that Instagram is coming out with. This one I actually think could be very, very useful. So this I am excited for. Yay, this is looking good for me. LinkedIn is testing out a dedicated feed for video content. So there will be a simply, I guess, like a Reels tab on LinkedIn where people can share video content. I have seen mixed reviews on this from the comments that I've seen from other people who are kind of talking about this piece of news. A lot of people are like, yeah, that's so great because so many people are using AI to write their content. Like, it will be really great to just have, you know, actual like face-to-face connection with people, which I understand. But I also really like being able to go to LinkedIn to not have to watch videos personally, because on every other platform, we're watching videos. So I actually really don't love this because I do feel like it makes more pressure for me to post content that's video related on LinkedIn. And that's one of the reasons why I've been able to stay consistent there, is because I don't. So it does worry me a little bit. Obviously, I'm sure I'll adapt, as all of us do. Even again, like when Instagram came out with Reels, so many people were hesitant. Here we are today, only posting Reels, basically. So this is something that we'll deal with. But personally, I'm just not excited about it. I'm just not. I'm sorry. Instagram is also testing out a new feature called Blend. It is a combined Reels feed based on the Reels that you've shared with a friend. I have an idea. What if Instagram just stopped creating new feeds? Like, can we just have like the Reels tab? I feel like that's fine. I don't want to have 50 different places to go check content or look for content. I truthfully think that between scrolling through my feed, which I honestly almost never do, and I know that's like not just me, I know that's a very common thing. We are kind of coming onto Instagram to either post, we are checking stories, watching other people's stories, or we're in the DMs. So I don't know that another feed is going to be the answer to getting people to spend more time on Instagram, because we have the Reels tab already. I personally will scroll through the Reels tab for like 3 minutes tops, and then I'm kind of just over it. I scroll through my feed again, 3 minutes tops, and then I'm going back to stories. So I am not going to check another feed. It's just not where I'm spending my time. And again, I know that's not just me. I know that's fairly common from what I've heard from other people. So it's so interesting to me that that is where they're putting their energy, is to creating a different feed. And I get it. It's because, you know, it's what you're sharing with friends. Like, it's going to be maybe a little bit more collaborative. I just think that this isn't really necessary. I feel like there are other ways we could be spending our time. Instagram. However, I don't run Instagram. If I did, things would probably be a little different. But easier said than done. I appreciate what people at Instagram are doing. However, I don't know about this. Obviously, if you follow me, you know that I talk a lot about LinkedIn and how obsessed I am with it, because it truly is such a goldmine for creators to be using. Today, we're going to be talking all about why you should be using LinkedIn and how you can actually utilize the platform. Let's get into it. I have four main reasons that I think that you should be using LinkedIn if you are a content creator, and all of them I think are so valid. And if you want to fight me on any of them, I would love to hear what you have to possibly say back to any of these. First things first, this is your place to connect with brand partners. If you find a brand that you want to work with and you send them a DM, I respect that. I think there are situations where that will work. However, if it's a larger brand, if it's a brand that has multiple people having their hands in the social media, I do think that it's very difficult to make an actual connection with that person. And if you do make some sort of connection, you're still very likely going to get the email that you have to take to your email and then actually like send a pitch message. And then we're just back to cold pitching, which if you ever heard any of my content, you know that I hate cold pitching. In fact, I literally made an entire method called the anti-pitch method. I'm not about it. So when you do this, I think there are so many more hoops that you have to jump through at DMing a brand on Instagram. Wouldn't it just be easier for you to directly connect with the people that you need to work with? Obviously, it would, right? And so this is where those people are hanging out. LinkedIn is the most appropriate platform for you to be having conversations that are business related and expecting responses. So for example, if I find someone that I want to work with and they work at, you know, a company that I've been wanting to work with, I have the right on LinkedIn to send them a business style message to connect with them. Versus if I found their personal Instagram, I cannot come in hot in their DMs. That's inappropriate. You're crossing a line. LinkedIn is a platform that is literally made for connecting business to business. And you as a creator, if you haven't forgotten, you are a business. And so this is the most appropriate place for you to be having those conversations. This is one of the reasons why I started the anti-pitch method, is because we spent so much time, first of all, trying to grow our audience. Eventually, the tables turned, really, and we started to worry more about the connection and the engagement versus what our follower count looked like. But why have we not changed the way that we're pitching? Why have we not changed the way that we're connecting with brands? And this is where the anti-pitch method comes in. It's more about finding those people that work at the brands, building relationships, building connections so that you can have more long-term, consistent, genuine partnerships because you actually know those people. Like they understand you, they get your morals, they feel your passion versus you just sending a DM that says like, hey, I want to work together. It's a completely different approach. It's a completely different feeling that that person is going to get. Brands want to work with people that they like, that they make easy to work with. That is how you can really show that through LinkedIn. So connecting with potential brand partnerships or partners is number one, and I think why you should be using LinkedIn most importantly. Aside from that, this is the best place, again, in my opinion, to establish yourself as a thought leader or an industry expert. You are going to be paid more when you are more of an expert in that field. It makes sense literally for any 9-to-5 job. It does not change when you're a creator. And this is why I have this conversation about niche a lot. If you are a person who is going so hard being the go-to person for whatever your specific niche is, it's so much easier for a brand to say, oh my gosh, this is literally the person that we need to work with, because our audience is going to be super into what they are already talking about. Like, you guys have common themes in your content or in their products or in your products. Like, there's a lot of crossover there. And so you being able to come onto a platform and continue to establish yourself in a business environment as an expert in your field, again, puts you so many levels over other people who are just posting about their accolades on Instagram. You're coming to a business platform, sharing your professional thoughts and opinions, sharing your behind the scenes of your business, and you're really showing people that, like, oh my God, like, that person is legit. Like, they are a professional. And this is going to get you so many more opportunities to be featured in digital publications, to have different, you know, speaking opportunities, all these different things that can start to put you in front of the right people in your industry to be able to monetize your business more successfully. For example, me being able to post on LinkedIn, I'll share a post about, again, like maybe a piece of news that I'm even sharing here today. Someone from a digital publication might reach out to me and say, hey, I saw that you shared your opinion on X, Y, and Z. I'm actually writing a story about this. You know, would you be willing to just hop on a quick call and chat about it? And I know this sounds like a very niche interaction. This happens a lot. Like, this happens very frequently. And so by me doing that, I maybe get featured in this publication, whatever it might be. And now I have just, again, raised the bar on my level of professionalism. I have really put myself just a level above a lot of the people who may be doing the same things as me. So you can get yourself in front of the right people when you are starting to establish yourself as an industry expert, as a thought leader on a business platform, aka LinkedIn. The third reason why you should be using LinkedIn as a creator is to establish yourself another platform for partnerships. I know that when you hear another platform, it often feels very negative, like, oh, just one more thing, one more place for me to post on. And I understand that, truthfully. But if you can literally post one, maybe two posts and text posts at this point onto LinkedIn per week, that's all you need to do. You don't need to commit to planning entire content calendars for LinkedIn. This is a platform for you to, you know, maybe you share a piece of content to Instagram. Just give us the behind the scenes on how you made the content or why you made the content or a funny story that happened while you were creating it. That's what you're sharing on LinkedIn. And so you being able to come onto another platform adds another avenue of add-ons when you're working with brands. So for example, if I'm working with a brand on a YouTube video and an Instagram post, I can now say, hey, do you want to add on a separate LinkedIn post about this topic for X amount of dollars? And now I have just boosted my invoice up even more, making more money working with the same brands just because I have another platform that I've established myself on. Brands, just like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, whatever, will pay you for sponsored posts on LinkedIn. So again, especially when you are a thought leader or an industry expert and you've established yourself there. Now, because my LinkedIn following isn't huge by any means, a lot of the partnerships that I'm doing on LinkedIn are add-ons to my partnerships, not like standalone LinkedIn posts. But honestly, that's totally fine because it's literally just an extra maybe $100, $200 that I'm adding on for really not doing that much extra work. It's just putting that brand in front of just a different audience that I've built on a different platform. And the fourth reason why I think this is really important for you to think about is the potential for future gigs or future jobs that you might find through LinkedIn. Obviously, when we think about LinkedIn, that's the first thing we think about is like, oh, that's where you go look for jobs or post your resume or whatever it might be. Maybe you don't want another 9-to-5 job or a 9-to-5 job at all. There are plenty of opportunities, short-term, long-term, part-time, freelance, full-time, all of the things on LinkedIn that are specific to content creators and influencers. So this is a really great place to look for those jobs. And also one of the reasons why I like this is because obviously as creators, we have a lot of moving parts in our business and not all of those moving parts are always giving us a ton of income each month. Some months they're popping off, some months they're super slow. So having those jobs that are a little bit more long-term or consistent income, which is a lot of what I see on LinkedIn, I think is incredibly smart and helpful for you to, again, take one more step towards potentially making this something that you could live off of, right? Being a creator. This is just another opportunity to maybe have a retainer with a company where every month they pay you X amount of dollars to create X amount of content. Those are the types of jobs that I'm seeing on LinkedIn. Actually, in Social Suite, we actually have an entire brand deal opportunities tab where we share some of our favorite, most promising jobs that we've found all over the internet, but a lot that are actually coming from LinkedIn. And that's available for free for anyone who is a member. And we update it multiple times per week. So now that I've probably convinced you at this point to get your butt on LinkedIn, here's what you need to do to actually use the platform. And I'm not going to lie, I probably should be doing an entire episode just about this. I'm going to give you the airplane view, but I do think there's a lot more to dive into. And we actually have past episodes about the anti-pitch method, and we have a little mini course about optimizing your LinkedIn profile. I'll leave both of those down in the show notes for you, but this is kind of the airplane view of everything that you need to know about how to actually utilize this platform. First things first, you need to optimize your LinkedIn profile. This is your first impression. It is how you are going to present yourself as a professional to anyone who's coming onto your page. Obviously, it needs to look good and it needs to really explain who you are, what you do, and why we should listen to you. But it also needs to be optimized for discoverability, meaning if I type something in the search bar, I want to know that you're going to come up in the search results. So we want you to continue to build relationships and grow your audience on LinkedIn so that your opportunity for making the right connection with the right person can be just so much greater. One thing I think that is important to note, the LinkedIn algorithm, I think, is actually incredible, which I feel like LinkedIn and algorithm and incredible, you may not expect to see all in the same sentence. But the cool thing about LinkedIn is like, if I were to post something 2 weeks ago, say, and you were to randomly come across that post and comment on it, now that post is going to go directly back up to the top of the feed, and it is going to be shown on the feeds of people who follow you. So by me creating one post, it could potentially have a shelf life that's weeks, days, months, like potentially even years long, similar to something like YouTube or Pinterest. So LinkedIn's shelf life is just incredibly long compared to Instagram and TikTok. So yes, before I was saying, I know it's another platform, but when you only need to post once, maybe twice a week on it, because those posts have such a longer shelf life, that makes it so much easier, doesn't it? To actually understand exactly what needs to be included in your LinkedIn profile to really optimize it for that discoverability, to optimize it for people to get the best first impression of you, you can check out our mini course, Optimizing LinkedIn for Creators, down in the show notes. I'll leave that there for you. It's $17. It's super inexpensive and it's very quick and will walk you through all of the steps that you need to do and things you can actually change in your profile literally today to be set up so you can go start using this platform correctly. Once you have your profile really well established, the next thing that you're going to do is actually start connecting with people. So this is the anti-pitch method that I've talked about so many different times. Again, we have an entire episode all about anti-pitch method. And this is actually what our entire course, Brand BFF, is based on. So this anti-pitch method is really the idea of, instead of you sending out cold pitches so many times every week, every month, and just honestly either sending out a bunch of them and not getting any good responses, or maybe you just never end up sending any of them out because it ends up at the bottom of your to-do list. I know that's what was happening a lot for me. And the idea is more of, instead of doing that, why don't we actually try and connect with the people that are working at these brands? And then when partnership opportunities do come up, they already know that we exist. Like, we're top of mind. And this has been something that I've actually done for the last at least 2 years at this point. And has literally changed my income, like, negatively in no ways. So I'm either making the same amount of money in brand partnerships than when I was cold pitching, or I'm making more each month. And so it's definitely something to think about if cold pitches don't feel like they're working for you. This can lead to so many more long-term partnerships because, again, you're actually building relationships with the people at the brands. And honestly, I think it's, at the end of the day, less work for you, because for you to get this pitch template and make it perfect, make it beautiful, customize each one. How many pitches realistically can you do in an hour, right? Like, probably not too many. And of those, again, you're probably not getting too many responses. So instead of you spending all your time doing that, in an hour on LinkedIn, you could create a new post. You could connect with so many new people. You could comment on other people's posts. You could start having DM conversations. I mean, an hour of your time is so much better spent doing that versus sending a cold pitch that literally might go to someone's spam and then they never even see it. If you're on LinkedIn actually networking, everything that you're doing is just strengthening your network, strengthening your community. And so that is going to be what brings you more long-term success, because you're actually, think of it like an investment. Instead of you buying a $17 white t-shirt from H&M, you're spending $50 on one from J.Crew, and it's going to last you so much longer, right? Like, it's really the quality of connections that you're making using the anti-pitch method versus something that's just like high quantity. You're just pumping out pitches. I don't want you to do that. So how can you actually use the anti-pitch method? The first thing you need to do is actually find the brands that you want to work with, and then look those brands up on LinkedIn so that you can find the people who are the right people to connect to. Who are the people in marketing and social media and influencer relations? Who are the people that are actually working with the influencers at these brands? You are going to connect with them. You have the option to send a little connection message. In here, I highly, highly recommend not pitching yourself, because again, that's literally defeating the entire purpose of the anti-pitch method. This is your space to just say like a compliment, say they're doing a great job, say something that you saw of theirs recently that you liked, whatever it might be. Like, use this space wisely. Do not pitch yourself in this space. Now, once you have been able to actually connect with that person, you can spend time interacting with them, or what I call warming up the brand. This is where you are just commenting on things they're sharing, having more connection with them. Maybe you go onto Instagram or TikTok and start interacting with the brand there in case it is the same person and there's some crossover, but you're going to essentially start to interact with them. After this, there's really two different ways that this can go. Either the brand takes notice of all that you've been doing and actually sends you a message, And this is honestly something that happens fairly often. Or it might go down the route of maybe they notice you, but they don't necessarily reach out to you. So how are you going to be able to create a connection with them? Well, you have LinkedIn DMs for that purpose. Personally, anytime I start a connection with a brand, I try to do as much of it actually over like an intro call on Zoom versus having just like an email conversation or a LinkedIn DM conversation. It's just such a different experience, obviously, getting to know someone through video. So personally, I like to try and get on an intro call. And the most important thing that I will do on that call is ask the brand, how can I help you? What are you working on? Instead of me just sitting there talking about myself the entire time, I am actually trying to gather information by using that question or those questions to figure out how I might be able to assist the brand. Because at the end of the day, I'm a service provider as a creator. So I need to know how I can provide that service to the brand in a way that is going to be most beneficial for them. Once I'm off that intro call and I have that information, I can put a proposal together that is beautifully tailored to the brand because I just asked what they need. Instead of you sending, again, a cold pitch where maybe you just say, hey, I want to do all of this for you, and you don't even know if they need all of that, right? Like, how can you suggest a service if you don't know what service the brand actually needs? So I will do that intro call, ask those questions, and then send a proposal. And ideally after that is when I close the deal. Now, if all of this sounds overwhelming to you, down in the show notes below, you can get the anti-pitch method guide. It is a free guide for you that will start to walk you through a little bit more in depth what this process actually looks like. And really good news, later on this month in April, we are going to be launching another cohort of Brand BFF. So if you missed it back in January, you can get in on it this April, this month, and the classes will start the beginning of May. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can send me a DM that says BFF, and I'll send you all the information that you need to get yourself on that wait list before we actually open our new cohort. I know that this is a lot, right? So how do you make it part of your schedule? This isn't going to work if you go onto LinkedIn once and maybe just share a post here and there. You need to be consistently using the platform. So personally, staying consistent, I think, is actually the most difficult part. Obviously, you can make your profile look pretty and connect with people, but actually dedicating the time is the challenge. So here's what I would do. I would start off right now, after you go through optimize your profile, I would start off by setting a timer for 5 minutes every morning. You can find 5 minutes. Wake up 5 minutes earlier. I don't care. Do while you're going to the bathroom. Let your dogs out, and while they're running around, get on your 5 minutes of LinkedIn. 5 minutes each day dedicated to connecting with someone new, maybe creating a post, or just nurturing the connections that you already have. Go check in the social suite. We actually have an anti-pitch method tracker where you can actually track all these connections that you're creating so that when you log on, you can go through this list and say, I'm going to go check in on this person, check in on this person, check in on this person to see if they have anything new going on so you can continue to nurture those connections. So that is something that I would highly recommend in order for you to actually use the platform consistently. But like I said, in terms of posting, set aside some time for one post a week to start. And what you should be posting on here is anything that is going to start to establish you as a thought leader or an industry expert, or give us more insight on your business. So if something's happening in your industry, share your opinion on it. Share it in general. Share that it's even happening. Maybe you're one of the first few to find out. Share the behind the scenes of a sponsored post you just did and tell us why it worked. Show us that you are a professional and that you're running a business, however you need to do that. And I will say a little pro tip, and I don't know why this is, but on LinkedIn specifically, people love selfies. They love selfies. So like, if you can create a post that talks about your business or whatever, and then attach a selfie with it, chef's kiss. Beautiful. That's what you should be doing. If you have any further questions on LinkedIn, why you should be using this platform, how to optimize your profile, how to use the anti-pitch method, I left so many great resources for you in the show notes below. You could also send me a DM anytime you need to. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you next week. Bye.